we're still in the battle, still in this war. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to continue in it for a while, looking at warfare. And in a quick review, that's one thing, Brother Joe, I remember Brother Joe, he always would go back over and try to keep it in our minds about that there is a war and that we are in this war. And there's no, we're not like World War II when the guys got home, they got to be discharged. Well, there's no discharge in this war. We're in it to the very end. And it don't make a difference how old you are, how young you are. The battle is before us. And so we need to remember that we're in a war. And things like this morning, I tell you what, I had the devil get up in one of our youngins this morning. I mean, it was almost scary. It was almost frightening to see how he transformed. And, the look of hate that was in his face towards me because I wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. And he just went nuts. But the enemy is out there, and he's trying to cause as much problems as he can. But as the brother said, the Lord's in control, and he can only do what the Lord lets him do, and it's always for our good and the glory of God. We need to remember that. Don't let these things take us by surprise. Just be a good soldier. Now, I think we all understand that we're in a war, and we looked at the enemies that we have to face every day, and I still say the greatest enemy I face every day is when I meet in the mirror, when I brush my teeth, comb my hair, and that's me. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, the world uses your flesh against you. The flesh, you know, lusts after the world, you know. And the flesh has the same nature as the devil. It's just rebellious against God, you know. And I don't care how saved you are, your flesh ain't saved. So you got these three enemies that we have to face every day. And then we not only looked at these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we looked at the weapons of our warfare. And we looked at these weapons of our warfare and how they're not carnal. But the thing about weapons, you guys that's been in the military, you know, you know this. You were trained in the weapons of your day. They took you out there, and I've heard people say, man, they could, back when they were in there, they carried an M1, and they said they could take that thing apart in the dark, about in their sleep. They could take it apart. They knew how to clean it. They knew they could do all that, you know. It was just instinct. And, of course, time and history that you was involved in being a soldier for this country, they trained you in the weapons that you carry. You know, that you knew back in the day, buddy, when they put that, what do you call that thing you put on the end?
Bayonet.
Yeah, bayonet. You were trained in close quarter. You knew how to handle that bayonet. You didn't just stick it on there, you know, without training. Boy, I know a lot of you said probably you got down in that gorilla pit and took bayonet training, boy, and beat each other with them little clubs, you know. Yeah, see, you know, he ain't forgot, buddy. He'd been down there. He probably had a sergeant beat him half to death one time. I don't know, but that happens a lot. You got to be trained in these weapons. If you're not trained in them, they're not a whole lot of good to you. It wouldn't do me. them automatic weapons they carry today, they could put that thing in my hand. It'd be no use to me. I might could eventually figure out how to, you know, learn some things about it, how to use it. But if the enemy was coming after me, I mean, you know, I'd be in trouble, you know. I wouldn't even know how to take the safety off, you know what I'm saying? But it's important that we know the weapons of our warfare, and our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we took a good bit of time at looking at this weapon of prayer. It's a mighty weapon, important weapon. I mean, we talk about how, like, in, buddy, how many of you, I know, how many of us have been in a combat situation? How many of you, if you've been in, would you raise your hand? Or so we had two. Well, you know how important communications are, don't you? It ain't good to get caught back there by the enemy and you're not able to talk with the help. You know what I mean? You need good communication. And I'm going to tell you something. In this warfare that we're in, we got to have good communications with the Lord. We got to have good communications. And that's why I try to look at prayer and look at the importance of prayer. Because if we don't have a good, you know, communications with the Lord, then you know, we're in the dark. We're blind. He knows what's going on. We don't. Brother Jim been in politics for a while. He knows what it's like to be in the dark. They try to keep you in the dark, don't they? Huh? If they can, they want to keep you in the dark. The media today, it wants to keep us in the dark about what's really going on. And that's sad that we come to that place. But when we're in the dark, if we're not in communication with the Lord, we're in the dark because He knows what's going on. Well, how many of you have ever said, man, what's going on? You know, in your own life, you know what I mean? You seem like all of a sudden everything's starting to fall apart. You know, you say, what's going on? I mean, he's ever said that besides me. I've said it many times in my life. What's happening? What's going on? You know? And we need to be in communications and let the Lord point out some of the problems that we have. The verse in there says, you know, talking about trouble in your own house. You know, if you're in communication with God, He can show you some mistakes that we're making that so that we can make changes that will make help. So communications are so important. And so powerful, effectual prayer and being trained how to use this weapon of prayer is very important. Now, the thing about it, those of you that, like I said, was in military, the thing about your weapon, they didn't take you in there one day and said, okay, now everybody, here's where your safety is. They give you a little, you know, a little quick training on how to clean it, you know, if it jams, how to get it, you know, how to take it apart and do all those kind of things. And it lasts, you know, or even a week. No, they don't do that, do they? They do it over and over and over and over and over and over. And when you think you know what you're doing, they tell you you don't know nothing, right? Am I right? Huh? You don't know nothing. You do it over and over and over. And then they start putting you into different situations, right? Huh? Because your weapon can have, it can be different problems under different situations. So you got to put yourself in different situations. You know, when you, hey, that guy that's carrying that backpack and got that radio on there, I mean, there's different situations. There's rainy situations. There's mud situations. I mean, there's overcast situations. He's got to know what makes this thing go. And he gets trained. He goes it over and 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 over, and that's the way it's got to be with us, with these weapons. We've got to practice, is what I'm saying. They say practice makes perfect. Well, I tell you, we ain't going to get perfect down here. But we got one. We're in communications with somebody who is perfect, and he's got the answers when we don't. And so we need to be in communication with him. That's why prayer is so important. Now, another thing, too, how many of you in the military, did you ever go over manuals? Yeah. Lots of manuals, wasn't it? For all types of situations, all types of problems, all kinds of things going to come in your life. This is your manual. Amen? Here's your manual. This is where you get the information you need, you know, right here. And we need not only to be, prayer has to be a part of our life. I mean, such a part of our life that you do it automatically. How many of you wake up first thing in the morning, first thing that pops up in your mind is, Lord. Yeah. That's good when it's like that. I've had it that way. I've had other times, though, you pop up and you say, oh. And next thing you know, you're thinking about everything you got to get done today. You know what I mean? And you're jumping up and you're running full steam. And boy, and you go and you go and you go and your day turns into mush. And finally he said, oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't even pray this morning. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. George Mueller, somebody said to him one time, because he got up early in the morning. He spent 4 hours. I'm not suggesting all of y'all take 4 hours in prayer and in Bible reading. I'm not suggesting that. But he did. And for what he was doing, he said, wouldn't your time be better spent in trying to get some of this stuff done? I mean, you know, that you got all these things you get done. He said, how do you have time to get everything done you do? Spending that kind of time in prayer and studying your Bible. He said, I would never get nothing done if I didn't do that. He said, I wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. See, that's what God called him to. God called him also, and I asked you, I encouraged us all to take note and remember things we've been praying and asking God for and write down answers. Write down things that God said, you know, you got problems with in your life. You know? Write down things that God said, this is good. This is things that's in your life that you're doing right. And also, these are some things that God did for us in answer to prayer. That's important. George Mueller kept a running record, and I forget how many hundreds of thousands of answers to prayer that he recorded. We know some of the stories, right? Where we didn't have nothing to eat and had the kids to sit down and his wife and around about the table with empty plates, nothing in the pot, nothing, you know. And said, and get down, the first thing he did was say, thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Now, I don't think he had some kind of automatic vision. He just believed that God was going to answer prayer, that he was going to see to their needs. He always had before. Had God changed? And he thanked God for what they were about to receive. And his wife said, we ain't got nothing to eat. And about that time, crack, 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 crack. We know the stories, right? You know, and man, it's the bread man. The bread man said, Mr. Mueller, he said, I have an overrun on bread today and thought maybe y'all could use it. And boy, it unloaded a bunch of bread for him to eat. And he thanked God for that, you know. And when they were getting ready to break the bread and eat, and about that time, pop, 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 another doc knock on the door, and it was a milkman. He said his cart had busted a wheel. He said, I can't get this milk anywhere. I thought maybe you could use it. So they didn't have nothing but milk and bread, but praise God, they got fed. And he saw these answers to prayer and recorded them. And I think it's important to do that, to remember what God has done for us in the past so we can believe what God's going to do for us in the future. Amen? He's never let us down. So it's a good thing to take stop and remember. Thing about it is, how many of you remember the prayer of Hezekiah? Where Hezekiah said, Lord, remember how I walked before thee. You know? Hey, I got news for Hezekiah. God ain't forgotten nothing. Amen? Yeah. But you know who was really doing the remembering there? It was Hezekiah. He was remembering how he had walked with God before. And he was bringing it up to the Lord. I remember Brother Ed Ballou preaching that message and how it impacted me. You know, he said he was calling a great God to remembrance. Ooh, how do we want to? Do we want to bring the great God to remembrance on how we've walked before him? Sometimes I would rather not, you know. I certainly don't want him to bring it back up to me. Praise God, they're gone. And that's what the Lord reminds me. My sins are gone. They're in a sea of God's forgetfulness. There's nothing I've ever done or ever going to do that the blood of Christ hasn't taken care of. Every sin I ever committed when Jesus hung on that cross was in the future. But the thing of it is, when Jesus hung there on that cross, I believe with all my heart He hung there in eternity. Because the Bible said He was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Before I was ever born. Before anybody was born. Before God had laid the first foundation on this earth, it was already decided. In the mind of God, it had already taken place. That's the reason why Noah could find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know? Noah, we're going to believe God. It's important that we know these things. Why? If we don't know this instruction manual, we don't know this word, hey, we're not going to be able to stay in the fight. The devil will beat us to death. He'll find out. He knows every little rotten deed about us. If we're trying to do anything for God, He's studying you. He wants to stop you in your tracks. Watch this. I bet every now and then some old imp says, watch this. I'm going to push this button. Watch the way he does. You know what I mean? Huh? Have you ever felt that way? The devil just come along, push a little button, just watch you do something stupid, you know? And you say, thing of it is, and this is what he don't like. First thing you do when you're walking with God, you run to the Lord and say, I did it again, God. The other day I was praying about something, and God reminded me. How many times have I told you in the past? What do you expect? Your flesh. Have I not already told you I knew that? Huh? Have I not already told you in the Word that you were but flesh? You know? He said, only good thing in you is me and what I'm doing in you. Because so often I feel, oh, I'm failing. I failed again. I messed up again. I messed up again. What do you expect? Your flesh. Now, what do you do with that? Do you thank God? When you mess up, you turn to God and say, thank you. You knew what I was, but yet you love me. You know what I am, but you're still here with me. You're never going to leave me. You're not going to kick me to the curb. Because I messed up. So what are we going to do? We're going to lay down there in the gutter and say, I give up. I'm tired. Huh? He ain't going to give up. He said he's going to finish the work that he started in us. So what's the smartest thing to do is just get back up on your feet and say, God, I can't do this. I'm putting it in your hands. I tried to do it again on my own, and I messed up. And that's what happens, you know. That's when we mess up, is it not? When we're out there, when we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it our way. You know, we're that drunken driver. I got this. And the guy said, no, you don't. Yeah, it's my car. Hush. Sit over there. You know? Huh? That's the reason why God got to be sitting in the pilot seat. We got to let Him be driving the vehicle. But God doesn't force us into anything. I mean, we got to choose. Buddy, old Job had to choose. You know what I mean? The devil comes, oh yeah, of course he loves you. Look all you do for him. Huh? Look at how you just got everything perfect for him. That's why it's so important that we have a right relationship in prayer, talking with God. And second, that's where we're going for the next little while, is in the Word of God, our instruction manual. It's not enough. I'm going to tell you something else, too. It's not enough to know the Word of God. I've run into some Pentecostals. They can quote Scripture. After Scripture, after Scripture, after Scripture, they know the Word of God. They know what it says. They know, some of them know Scriptures, memorize Scripture a whole lot better than I have. But there's something, they got some problems. And it's called right division. It's not enough to know what the words of God are. You've got, it's not enough for you to memorize the words that's in that instruction manual. You got to have understanding about those words in that instruction manual. It's not enough to know what everything is on an M16. You got to know how to do what and when and where. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. So it's not enough just to know the words of God. The devil knows the words of God. He'll quote scriptures at you. Huh? But if you're not able to rightly divide it, he will lead you astray. He will beat you to death. We looked at in prayer last week. Apostle Paul, he gave them warning. He said there would be grievous wolves come within your midst. He said, even amongst your own selves. Talking about the pastors. He said, and they would draw men after their. See, you know what happened? They knew the words of God. But you know what knowledge, the Bible says knowledge does? Knowledge of these words, you know what it'll do? It blows you up like a balloon. It'll puff you up. So it's not enough to just know the Word of God. You got to, in knowing the Word of God, hey, you got to have understanding. You got to have understanding of the Word of God. You're only not going to know what those words say. You got to understand what God is doing in these words. You can know all kinds of things, but it ain't going to make you. It's not going to mean that you're going to have understanding of the word. I can know. Years ago, I remember hearing a story of a man. He had a photographic memory, and they was throwing these questions. One, you know, throughout and says, "Can you quote to us such and such from the Bible?" And he quoted it verbatim. You know, knew every word perfectly, and he said. And he asked the same fellow, he said, "Now, can you quote it?" And this man was a pastor, yeah, and he quoted again. He said, and as he was quoting it, he said, men's hearts were being moved. He said, some of them started, you could see some of them started wiping their eyes. And the fellow asked him, he said, "You quoted the same verses to him." He said, why are they moved by what he's saying? And not by what, when you were saying it. He said, "Oh, I know the words." He knows the God of the words. And that's the kind of way it is with understanding. We can know the words, but until we understand what God is doing, you know, we're back in the dark. And that's where prayer has a whole lot to do with that. We need to be in communication with God so God can really teach us the Word of God. There is but one teacher, by the way. Yeah, there isn't but one. There's a lot of men, you know, they stand up and they tell people what God has taught them. You know what I'm saying? But if the people that's in front of it is going to get it, who's going to have to do the teaching? Who's going to have to teach them? That teacher can't teach them. All he can do is tell them what God has taught him. And now, it's going to take God, the Spirit of God. He is one teacher, and it's the Spirit of God. He's going to have to teach us. Years ago, when I first got saved, I mean, the Bible was the Bible, as far as I knew. The Bible was the Bible. I didn't know about the difference between the NIV, the RV, or the RSV, or NISV, or any of those, NASB. I didn't, you know, live in the Bible. I didn't know that. You know, the Bible. I thought it was the Bible. You know what I'm saying? When I got saved, I didn't know. When y'all got saved, did you know that there was an argument about that? Did you know that there was a problem? No, you didn't know nothing about that, did you? I didn't. It was just the Bible. And I got saved, and I got saved in the Methodist Church. And the first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to learn the Word of God. I wanted to know more about God. So I went they had a Bible study, evening Bible study. And they'd get up there, and who was conducting it, he would have, he'd call on different people to read the word, you know, the passage that he was going to be looking at that night. And they would read, and maybe he'd have four or five people stand up and give readings. And they'd read, and I said, that ain't what my Bible said. And nothing, get up and read. Well, that's close. It's similar, but that ain't what my Bible said. And another guy to get up and read. And that was real close. That's almost, but there's still two words here that's different. See, I didn't know nothing about that. And I remember going to ask my preacher about it. And you know what he told me? He said, well, he said, you need to find a good version of the Bible, and he suggested several, you know. And he said, now you're going to run into these people that think that the Bible that I had in my hand, that it was, you know, the pure, perfect Word of God. He said, but there's a lot of errors in it. What he told me. Now, I believe this man was saved. I really do. I believe he loved the Lord, and I think he was trying to give me the best advice that he had. But you know who taught him that? Somebody else. Wasn't the Word of God taught him that. It was another man that taught him that. There's only one that can teach us the Word of God. So when I got over at Gospel Light, you know, and all of a sudden now I'm starting to hear people talk about something I never heard of before. It's called biblical preservation. I never heard of that. Do you realize you're in a very, very narrow group because you've got to hear that teaching? Do you realize that probably 99% of the church has never heard that, even amongst Baptists? Very narrow. So don't let that puff you up. Think that you're somehow, you're a little better. No. For whatever reason, you got into this little narrow line. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to be all puffed up and think you're smarter than this other crowd that don't know anything about it? Or are you going to try to make a difference and help them? What are you going to do? See, I just happened to get over there and started learning about it, started hearing about it. But you know, even that didn't convince me just because I was hearing people say about it. You know what I had to do? I had to get in that Bible and start reading it. And God had to teach me that there is a thing called biblical preservation. There's something else. I believe in a thing, and y'all probably heard Brother Joe use this word, progressive revelation. Huh? Progressive revelation. Do you realize that the church knows about things that the church didn't know about 200 years ago? You know what? There were some things that they knew then that we've forgotten. Like suffering. They knew about suffering. They understood that well. You know? They knew what it was like to be persecution. We don't know a whole lot about that here in America, you know. We've got this idea that, oh, God, you know, bless God. You just believe on God. God's going to take care of all the problems. We're going to sail on through here. You know, it ain't new. All around this world, people are suffering and being persecuted for the truth of the Word of God. And it ain't because they're not as good a Christian as our truth is. They're probably better Christians, and God's able to trust them with it. Can He trust us with it? We better get ready, because I believe it's going to come again to this country. Baptists have been persecuted in the United States of America. 1700s, they were being arrested. You know what I'm saying? Because they were... All the churches were state churches. Finally, after the Revolution, got some things settled, and we were delivered from that. You know what I'm saying? For the first time after the Revolution, United States of America gave us the right to worship God according to our conscience. It ain't going to stay that way. It's quickly disappearing. You know, our government is already under investigation for targeting, you know, pastors and churches about income taxes, you know. And they're under investigation about it because they're breaking the law and doing it. But I guarantee you, they've had a directive. Y'all remember under Bill Clinton some of the things that was happening under gun laws, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we seem to have all kinds of gun, real big gun problems under him when they started, you know what I mean, pushing to get rid of them. And when they start pushing to get rid of them, it seems like all these gun problems start rising up, shootings and all kinds of stuff. I don't know. I wonder who's doing the shooting sometimes. I really do. You say, you crazy enough, do you believe that the government could be doing it? Yes, I'm crazy enough to believe that. I believe our government do anything. I believe they do. I believe there's people in our government that do anything to control the people in this country and to keep control and to keep power and to keep money. They do anything for money. They do them right up here in the city government. They do it here in the county government. They do it in the state government. They do it in the federal government. And we are being governed by a bunch of crooks. Let's just face it. You say, who are you voting for president? I don't know. God's gonna have to open my mind up. Or I don't see nothing. I mean, a good thing I'm saved, because I'd probably be wanting to shoot. Because, I mean, I just don't see nothing much out there. I look at guys like Trump, and I said, that is the best America can do. That's the best that we can come up with. Huh? Hillary Clinton? I mean, come on. That's the best that we can come up with in this country? That is the minds? These are the minds that should be governing our nation? Oh, my goodness. Crazy. Well, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. We're still in the war, and we need to be familiar with this word. I'm going to just read some things. Now, we're going to be looking at right division, and I got some things that I would like to cover. And one of the first things I'm going to start covering, because I think it's very important. We're going to look in those mysteries that Joe went over, and I'm not going to go over them like Joe did. I'm going to look at some things that I've seen when he was going over them. It's made me aware of things and problems that's entered into our churches, it's entered into our country, it's entered into our government, it's entered into our homes because we failed to act on the knowledge of these mysteries. You know, like when they said, I think separation of church and state is, you know, prayer needs to go out of our school. We need to get the Bible out and stuff like that, you know. Well, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There was enough people in this country at that time, if they would just stood up and said, no, we're against this. Well, you know, if the church in this country had marched up to Washington and said, you know, why are you attacking God now? Why are you attacking His Word? We said that this is one nation under God. I said, the church is not trying to rule this country. We're under liberty right now. Greatest liberty the world had ever known. But what did we do? Oh, well, that's what it says. Separation between church and state. I guess we ought to get the Bible. We'll let them take the Bible out. We'll let them take prayer out. We'll let them do this. We'll let them do that. And we just rolled over. I tell you what we did. We rolled over to scratch my belly. No, what I mean by that is the government has bought us off through programs. It bought this nation off through programs. The day's going to come. The money for the programs is running out, ain't it, Brother Jim? What's going to come after that? I'll tell you what's going to come. they're going to sit down with a, hey, with an iron fist. And they're going to have to. Because you're going to see rioting and stuff when the money runs out, when they can't feed the people they've been feeding for so long. They can't. When we start settling into a third world country, it's going to start looking like south of the border. Corruption is going to level this land. We better be prepared for it and know the truth. We're going to look at the mystery of enigma. I'm going to read some things. These weapons, the first thing I want to we're going to read some Bible quickly before the time is out. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Look down here. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God and you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now you look at this armor, every bit of it is making reference to the Word of God. The truth. This is the truth. Amen. We have the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and He's the Word of God. Hey, He's the Word of God that was made manifest in the flesh. And we find right here, so here you see your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is to teach us the way of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is where we find the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't care. Hey, every principality, you stand on this book, on this word right here. I don't care who it is, whether it's a governor, hey, whether it's, you know, it's city council, whoever it is, you just stand on the Word of God. You stand on the Word of God. And I tell you what, don't ever be ashamed to take the Word of God to them. We you know, say, well, you can't quote Scripture. They don't care anything about Scripture. Who cares what they care about? The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it can make a difference. It don't matter if they believe it or not. It don't. The Word of God shall not return void. It will accomplish what God pleases. So don't ever be ashamed to stand on the Word of God. I don't care who you're talking with. My boss man came up to me the other week and wanted to know when I was going to be preaching again. I think he's under conviction about some things. He's been treating me differently. I don't know why, but I think he's under conviction. I'm going to look for an opportunity to talk to him again. The Word of God, don't be ashamed of it. It is effectual. It's powerful. And the Word of God, don't ever draw back because it's the Word of God. Anyway, you Bible thumpers, yeah. I'm going to thump it as loud as I can. Because it is the thing that this world needs. And throw it in their teeth. See, you might not believe it, but it's the truth. They said the same thing to Jesus. That's the reason why they crucified Him. Because He gave them the truth. Did He back up from the Word? No. Instead, He gave the Word. He said, but they killed Him. Well, praise God, it changed the world, didn't it? In a way that nothing else ever has. Not only did it change it in saving us, but politically changed the world too. I mean, it made a difference. Oh. Word of God is powerful. The shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword. How did your salvation come? It came by the Word of God. How is this world salvation going to come? It's going to come by the Word of God. The Word of God, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Light is what caused us to see that we needed Jesus Christ as Savior. It makes the difference, the Word of God. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we're going to look at this word, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to look at it in right division. We're going to look at it, and we're going to try to divide it the best that we can, at least give us some things to think about and keep it before us that we're going to keep on practicing. We're going to keep on practicing. He said, a lot of these things are redundant. I know this, Brother David. Well, keep on practicing. We ain't arrived. We ain't there yet. I bet you can't do with that weapon what you one time did when you was in the military, can you? Mm-hmm. No. You know why? Because you ain't been practicing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. If we don't keep practicing with this book and keep using this book and keep practicing with it and keep looking over the things that we think we believe, like our pastor said when he come here, that grabbed my attention immediately. He said, why do we believe what we say we believe? And we better be looking at why do we believe what we believe. Because what you might believe might be wrong. The Word of God can change us and make a difference. So we're going to look. It's a powerful word. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's the whole armor of God. And in right division, what we have, when this is what happens. When you said the helmet of righteousness. In right division, that very word, right, we're looking for what's right. We're looking for truth. We're going to study and search the Scriptures. Jesus told those Pharisees, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have life. Did they have life? No. They were dead in trespasses and sin. But search the Scriptures, in them you think you have life. But they are they that speak of me. You know where life was? It was in Him. Amen? Those Scriptures, if they would have searched them, would have pointed them to who? Jesus. That's what pointed us to Jesus, was it not? Was the Scripture. Search the Scriptures. So we're going to search the Scriptures and learn and try to look at right division and get in it. We're going to look at some things like in right division. We're going to look at leaven. We know that leaven, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. So if we got false teaching, a little bit of false teaching, and I'm going to quickly give you an example of this, okay? I watched this program yesterday talking about the evidence of the Bible. And they were looking at when the children of Israel went down into Egypt. Because they said, there is no archaeological evidence that supports this. Wrong. And this guy did a good job proving it was wrong. It was there. And here's what happened. They showed that there was a line of things that happened in Egypt that lined up with this Bible. But then they showed a thing that happened when the children of Israel left, a line of things that happened over in Canaan. But the times didn't line up right. You understand what I'm saying? See, they had those things divided, but they weren't rightly divided. They were looking, but they were looking in the wrong place. They were looking, but they were looking in the wrong time. That's called right. That's called dispensational study. Correct? There's a lot of people, dispensationally, they're trying to live in the kingdom. They got, man, over on Cold Concord Road, there's hundreds of people over there. You know, they're looking for Jesus in the wrong dispensation of time. And that's exactly what's happened with the archaeologists. And now these guys are saying, you have made a mistake in your dating. You got the timelines wrong. You've got it divided incorrectly. You see how important that can be? Because if you don't make right division of the Word of God, these things are all true. And these things are all true. But if they're not lined up correctly, guess what you have? You've got error. You've got heresy. You've got false teaching. You've got all kinds of stuff. I remember one of the first things I saw that a lot of people in churches were giving out wrong had to do with the parables of the kingdom of heaven. I remember one of the first things I heard a fellow say, you know, Jesus spoke to them in parables so that they could understand better. I said, well, that ain't what my Bible said. My Bible said that he spoke to them in parables so they couldn't understand. So which is it? Who's right? The Word of God or that Bible teacher? Okay? He said, unto you it is given to understand. He took and explained those parables to his disciples, did he not? He said, but unto them it is not given, lest they should understand and I should save them. Wait a minute. He said, for fear that they might understand, so he'd have to save them if they called upon. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. If they'd have called upon him, what would he have had to do according to his word? He'd have had to save them. But he wasn't planning on saving them. You know why? Because he looked on their hearts and he blinded them. Did he not? A lot of people don't like that, but that's what he did. He did that. You know why? Because he knew them. He knew what was in man. He knew that it wasn't nothing but a devil. But I'm going to tell you what, any devil will try to save his skin. Amen? A lot of people want fire insurance, you know what I'm saying? But not everybody wants God. Nobody wants to go to the lake of fire. But not everybody wants God. Everybody would like to enjoy the bliss of heaven. But there's a whole lot of people out there just like to kick God out and take it over. And you know what you'd end up with? You'd end up with hell. And God knows. So you need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. And that was the first thing I saw. And after that, I began to understand that there's a difference because He was giving them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I don't understand those mysteries. It's not given unto us to understand those mysteries because they belong to the nation of Israel. So not only do you have to rightly divide the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, you've got to rightly divide two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Not only you got to do that, and I need to finish. I'll just stop right there. But we're going to be looking at dispensational and see how all these things are important. Because if you're not careful, you'll go out there and you'll be dealing with people. And next thing you know, you'll be teaching as much heresy as they already got. You'll be telling them things that ain't true. I don't want to be doing that. I want to have an understanding of the weapon that God is.